Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 35 of the UK Dallas Cowboys fan podcast. Tonight I'm joined by Paul and by Jamie. How are you both doing, gentlemen?
Paul looks like he's in the Arctic.
That's how I feel.
Yes. I definitely feel like that. Well, up to getting up this morning. But look,
that was a nice silver lining, to be fair. At least we don't have to like put up with their rubbish anymore. Like, I mean, we can slay the Eagles as much as we want, but end of the day, we did not do our job.
And
devastating fashion.
Yeah, that is the unfortunate thing, and as you say, it is devastating. You know, as you can see, Cowboys lost 48-32 at AT&T. We're the first team to lose to a number 7 seed in the playoffs. Our season is over.
Yep, we keep making the wrong records when it comes to the playoffs. We're 11 consecutive playoffs. I think that's the longest streak in the NFL when a team's in the playoffs. They've never managed to kind of keep making it up forward. So... Mm-hmm. Not a statistic that we're proud of. And
I think to add to that as well, Paul, it's the Cowboys are the first team in history to win to go to what is it to win 12 games a season for the three seasons and not in any one of them not make the championship game as well.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
That's putting it politely.
It is. And like, as much as we'll get into talking about the game, I suppose what most people are going to want to talk about is where are we going from here? I mean, the talk is, obviously, look, Dan Quinn has 5 interviews for a head coaching roles.
Gone.
It sounds like Mike McCarthy is staying around. You know, what's next?
Well, for me... Dan Quinn already had his foot out the door before the game even started. Like, this is my part. This is just my opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because after looking back at the game footage from the vertical angle, right, and I'm going to single out a player. It's Damone Clark.
Yeah,
he was assigned to specific gaps, and for some reason, he shifted. He was basically doing a Jalen Smith, essentially, going into the wrong gaps. I'm sorry, but this should be pure basics. You should know your gap. You should not be jumping into someone else's gap. And that's what opened the doors for Aaron Jones. If Clark stuck to his gap, it would have nullified those big, massive gains and actually maybe putting a damp in this game. So it was a big, massive failure from Dan Quinn. And if he goes for a head coaching role, cool, whatever. But frankly, I'm really annoyed about it. I really am. In terms of Mike McCarthy, I can't. He does deserve flack, yes, but not as much as Dan Quinn. I'll say that. Yeah. Like, there has been games where we have been looking pretty good, but he's also responsible for games where he's just had no game plan. And for him to come out of his press conference to say, we did not prepare for this game, essentially, that's on him. That's on Mike McCarthy. So I'm annoyed about that. I'm sorry, but for the previous 3 games, like, and this is one of them where... McCarthy played, not well, actually, how many times have we played against LaFleur? Is this our third time?
LaFleur, yeah.
Yep, so every time we've played against Matt LaFleur and Aaron Jones has always destroyed us every single game. How have we not learned this lesson? Like, and they're not doing anything different. This is what really annoys me from the defensive point of view. Like, and this has been, well, I kind of mind if it was, what's his name, Mike Nolan, who was the coach at the time, or it was all Dan Quinn, but
yeah,
it just seems to be that there's certain coaches that Dan Quinn's always had problems with Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan, and Matt LaFleur throughout his whole coaching career, even at Atlanta. He's had problems with those offensive style coaches. And he just never seemed to break the mold. So that's a problem. That's a massive problem. So for me, Dan Quinn goes, cool, we'll get someone else in to restructure this defense and maybe try and get more linebackers in and actually go to more traditional roles and actually do their job and actually hit their gaps properly and actually have a bit more tenacity in the team, because we were super soft in that game. Mm-hmm. And it was shocking, the fact that we were that soft during that whole game, like when it comes to tackles and making really silly mistakes. Like, I'm not going to go full pelt on DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, he did jump the gun, but he was probably without a doubt one of our best players in that game in defense. Micah Parsons was a non-entity in that game. He really was. Did not really provide anything at all, if I'm being honest. So, but in terms of the offense, I think with the press, like, I think it's that chain reaction, and I'm not trying to give Mike McCarthy a pass here, but I did kind of feel it was more of a chain reaction, because how shit, I'm sorry I'm swearing here, but how crap our defense was, it put the pressure on McCarthy and Dak.
Yeah.
And they had to play a lot of catch-up, and that's what led to more mistakes with the interceptions and the rush balls and stuff like that. So, I don't know, like, if McCarthy stays, I'm not going to be mad or not going to be thrilled about it, as long as we can improve and eliminate these mistakes. But I think it does kind of work as a chain reaction. If our defense is not doing the job, it's going to put extra pressure on our offense.
Yeah.
Because just remember as well, Brian, like when we tossed the coin, Green Bay got the ball first. They wanted the ball for a good reason.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing the Twitter commentary on Sunday night, and I lost track of the amount of times I was saying, or I was typing out a play and going, there's a run play coming, putting Aaron Jones' name down before he'd even snapped, did even snap the ball. I was typing out Aaron Jones' touchdown before he'd even gotten into the end zone.
He saw it a mile away.
Yeah. But, I mean, Jamie, look, give us your initial thoughts on it. I mean, Do you foresee coaching changes?
For the first time in a long time, I feel like we're at a crossroads. When you look at the stats, we're a great regular season team. And excuse the pun, but we preferably shit the bed the playoffs the last few years in the. And it's getting to that point now. As what does this team need to do? What does this team need to get over the hump? There's going to be coaching changes. Is it going to be head coach? Is it going to be defensive coordinator? Is it going to be both? I'm sure time will tell. And I say we had conversations. Sunday night, I won't go into it in too much detail because I don't want to steal thunder if you're going to discuss it down the line, but for me there's questions at quarterback, and I won't go into that just yet because I'm assuming we'll talk about it later. There's questions on the offensive line. We've got three all pros, but the offensive line, there's still issues there. We've got questions at running back. Current starting running back is coming off the tags, essentially a free agent. The Cowboys can tag him, but I don't think it'd be worth the price. We saw flashes of Dowdle towards the end of the season, but he's definitely not ready to step up. Outside of CD Lamb, we probably got questions at wide receiver. We've got questions on the interior for me of the defensive line. The outsides are good. We just don't have a genuinely good run stuffer. We've lacked one of them for years. We've definitely got We've definitely got questions at linebacker.
That's my biggest concern is linebacker, Jamie.
That's mine, bro. I've said I would imagine the Cowboys will look to address that in the first round. If not, then second round at the latest. I think the only thing we haven't really got questions is probably the secondary. I know there's a couple of players going in there and everywhere, but the secondary seems quite stable. And obviously kicker special teams, that's set up. But yeah, it's got to that point now. It's like, the Cowboys won't blow it up. Not while the Cowboys are the most valuable sports team in the world. There's no way they're going to blow it up, but there's definitely questions there, and it scares me going into this off-season.
I'm going to say this, right? As much as we can hate on Dak for his performance and whether or not, he's still going to be our quarterback next year. He's going to be $60 million against the cap, which is going to take a whole chunk of that. And unfortunately, we're in a position is either trade him away, which no one's going to take on $60 million.
We can't.
Well, there we go.
He's a no trade clause.
Yeah.
Well, that's even worse. Well, so the only option to get over this hurdle is actually give him a small extension to lower down the cap. Yeah. So we're in a bit of a fickle here going forward.
We'll come back round to the DAC discussion, because look, that's something we do need to have later on. I know Jamie wants to get into it, and like I can see comments coming in here from people, and you know, I'll feed them in as we get them. But Joe has put a point in here, and look, folks, I can see the comments. I'll address them as we kind of get to them. But he says here, Dan Quinn needs to go and take Parsons with him. He's overrated, loves talking on his podcast, and chokes in big games. And I tend to agree.
And to be fair, with that, I think you could probably say that about the whole roster, because they absolutely threw the pooch. They blew it. They panicked. They're unbeaten at home in pretty much 2 years. And no disrespect to Green Bay, but on paper, that Cowboys team should have absolutely destroyed Green Bay. And Green Bay came to AT&T Stadium with no one giving them a chance. And I think that just, not so maybe not so much a lot of the fan base. I think it was everybody else. And they came with a massive chip on their shoulder and the scoreline, and it probably sounds really daft saying this because we lost. The scoreline flattered us.
Yeah.
Because there was no. Because if you went onto NFL.com on Monday morning and looked at that, you would have thought that were a shootout. You would have thought it would have been an excellent game. You look at the stats, you'd be like, wow. And it just weren't. The only reason we got, 40 points more was because they took the starters out. And that was it. It was awful. It was probably the worst Cowboys game I've experienced since I became a fan 15, 16 years ago.
I don't know about that, Jamie, but because it's a playoff game, I get that, but there has been worse games than that, I can assure you.
Yeah, true. But say not that I can walk. Say, I think obviously because I'm come with a comment. I can't picture anything at the minute, but I'm sure, like I say, if we went back offline, I'd be able to pick one up, to be fair, definitely. But it was awful.
I'd say the 49ers game this year was as bad.
I would say Cleveland in the year 2000 was probably one of the worst.
Yeah. But Paul, I'm going to throw one here to you from JXL. He says, as Tyson said, everyone has a plan to get a punch in the mouth. We went 7-0 down and lay down rabbits in the headlights.
See, this is what I was kind of meaning. It's like Green Bay went in there and they went on the full attack and really pushed it on us, right?
Yeah.
Like, they just, Jordan Love, and credit to Jordan Love, he looked fantastic. He did.
Yeah.
I never thought Green Bay would have that guy. I didn't see Jordan Love being that replacement like Aaron Rodgers did with Brett Favre and going forward now, but they've got that system now that, like, if they're bringing someone in for a couple of years, whatever, now. But with that result, taking winning the coin toss and going offense first, they set the example, and it put us on offense on tremendous amount of stress, because normally when we play at home, normally we try, like, we put the first points on the board. So we're trailing at home. We put the pressures on us, all the marbles on the line.
Yeah.
We can't deal with it. We just can't deal with the pressure of what's at stake, really. But yeah, it's like I said, when it comes, like, I can see why McCarthy, that, not see why McCarthy, but McCarthy went into panic mode. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But because of how terrible our defense was, if our defense showed a bit of nail and grit and actually got us back in the game, that would take maybe some pressure off our offense and feel a bit more relaxed, and plays might still actually have been executed. But unfortunately, it did not. So that's the way I'm kind of seeing it right now.
This team definitely, I think, it proved, and I think a lot of people have said it on over the years, that this team hasn't got the balls and hasn't got the mentality to play from behind. This team, like Paul said, this team has to be in the lead to win games. We just can't. The first sign of pressure, this team crumbles, and it was there for the world to see on at the weekend, and they did it in a awful way, the worst way that they could have possibly done it. If it would have been in Green Bay, I'm not saying that kind of performance was acceptable, because it's just not. But if that would have been in Green Bay, you could probably understand why, because Lambeau is a hard place to go to. And their fans make the atmosphere very toxic's not the right word, but you know what I mean, but they make it hard for opposing teams to come in. We were playing it up. We had lost at home for nearly 2 years. AT&T was rocking pre-game. It was rocking as the game started, and then Green Bay just come in and just smacked them in the mouth straight away, and the Cowboys were on the ropes and thought, shit, what's happening here?
I mean, Joe's bringing up the point here, and look, I think all three of us would have an agreement with this. Trying to understand, how do you put out that kind of garbage in a playoff game unless they just gave up? It's been 2 days trying to figure out what the hell happened. I mean, we're all at a loss still to understand. I mean, we couldn't stop the run. We were allowing receivers to be wide open. We were allowing balls straight up the middle of the field. We'd no safety playing properly from deep.
We were playing zone coverage when we should have been playing man.
Yeah. I mean, that was said by everyone. Like, why did we switch from man to zone? We've been playing man all season. You know,
I'm telling you, like, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but I don't know why, but I generally do think that Dan Quinn really flunked it. I generally feel like he already had his bags packed, ready for these interviews to bugger off, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we'll see what happens, but it's inexcusable, like. It's the fact, like, I know I ranted about Damone Clark, and whether something has changed in the defensive scheme and he was supposed to do that, to leave a particular gap completely disregarded, then that's definitely on Quinn. But if that's not the case, then Damone Clark's got a lot to answer for. Why did he move away from his actual A gap and B gap assignments? Like, because he's supposed to be the guy to actually fill those gaps when it comes to stopping the run, and he didn't do that. He shifted to the weak side where Aaron Jones was running to, and I'm just like, are you really kidding me? This is really, really bad. And Law Nation posted the video up and really explained it very, very well why, like, this is basics. This is basic football. The first thing, like, whether you're a defensive line or linebacker, right? If you're in run position, like, every linebacker and every defensive lineman has a role, right? You have to, like, depending on your formation as well. Like, but if you're like the Sam Barker or going on the strong side, or the middle, like, let me rephrase that. If you're the middle linebacker, right, and everyone on the strong side, then you're hitting that A gap if it's on a run, pretty much, to guarantee and make sure there's no creases in there, right? The D-line did their job in terms of hitting the gaps, which is fine, but the biggest problem was there was no linebacker there to fill up the remaining hole, and that was always the case. Mm-hmm. At nearly every single run Aaron Jones went to, there was no linebacker there.
Go on ahead, Jamie.
Sorry, I'm just going to kind of answer that. But one of the big end scratches for me was, and this is no knock on the player. It's more on the coaches for not dealing with it probably better. But Gilmore was clearly restricted in what he could do. I know he had the thing on his shoulder. Now, if he's not 100% good to go, it's the plus, do not put him in the game. And what I mean by that is, this might be a really bad kind of comparison, but look at all those years ago when the Cowboys needed to beat the Giants to get home field advantage through the playoffs, and Emmitt Smith played with a separated shoulder and went on, and he had one of his best games for the Cowboys. Now, he essentially put the team on his back that day, and I know it's different offensive, defensive, different times, but if Gilmore's having to be restricted, Gilmore played a lot more. If you look at some of the stuff, Gilmore played a lot better this year in man, and he ended up playing him in zone, and it clearly showed that he probably wasn't as comfortable as what he'd been playing earlier. Now, if that's because of the range of motion that he had in his shoulder, then you don't put him in, and that's like saying that's the knock on the coaches. That's, they obviously didn't prepare well, and they obviously were more panicky, and they didn't want to kind of show their hand and say, "Well, look, yeah, we've got an injured player in there." But and I'm not saying about anything bad about him, but it's like the drop off from Gilmore to then the next is quite big, but it's the playoffs. Yeah. You can't put players in there that can't give you everything you need them to do. And like I said, that's not a knock on Gilmore. That's a knock on the coaches for not being better prepared for everybody else on the roster to say, right, look, let's take Gilmore out and let's see if we can get him ready for next week if we get through the playoffs.
I totally agree with you, Jamie, 100%. Mm. It felt like we deviated from our own game plan to suit to bring in one player. If one player is not able to do man coverage, then get someone else in that can. Yep. Like, it goes back to the whole Bill Belichick philosophy. Next man up.
Do your job,
right? Yep. And next man up, do your job, right? And I'm just like, right, okay, if Gilmore's not comfortable doing zone, then put someone else in. Right, and don't deviate what made us one of the best defenses in the league. Like, we were like one of the top five defenses, both in coverage and both in terms of putting pressures on. That there was none of that at all. Yeah, we did put a little bit of pressure on Jordan Love, but he was still able to get the ball out quickly and release. Like, and there was some, and we finally did. If there's one blessing, Micah Parsons did actually get a holding call. My goodness. too little, too late.
Here's the thing for me, Paul, right? And I was going to say this before Jamie got in ahead of me there, right? Dan Quinn is in his third year. Dan Quinn has never been told no. We have drafted defensively for two out of the three drafts he was here. We got a run stuffer in the first round this year who we failed to use at all, who dropped 35 pounds. he got all of the free agent players that he wanted. And yet we knew, and this is the thing, I'm seeing it here in the comments. We knew Green Bay were going to come in. Green Bay were going to run the ball.
Yep.
And they shoved our defensive tackles out of the way with ease. And Simone Clark was I'm not absolving him, but he was trying to do his best because he was the only linebacker on the field.
I agree, Brian. Like we said in our pregame show, our fellow content creators from JTalk to everybody said the exact same thing. We need to stop Aaron Jones. He is the main component of driving this offense for Green Bay, especially when it comes to playing Dallas. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just something in the air that makes Aaron Johnson become invincible when he plays against him. I have no idea. But as history repeats itself, every game we played Green Bay under Matt LaFleur, Aaron Johnson came and destroyed us. Both the last home game we had against them and the away game last year completely decimated us, right? Mm-hmm. And you would have thought, oh yeah, the equation of not having Aaron Rodgers as your Green Bay quarterback, yeah, that was something that's like, okay, this is a good positive to have going into this game, thinking, okay, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but by God, Jordan Love actually did play like he was Aaron Rodgers in that game with some of the throws he was throwing. And like I said, credit is due. Green Bay played fantastic on their side of the ball, but a lot of the things that was caused for their great plays was our stupidity and deflection from the game plan. We did not stick to stopping the run. We did not stick to the correct coverage. So it's a big, massive failure from Dan Quinn. And from my point of view, Dan Quinn's already packed his bags. He is going. He's going. Like, I'm still lost for words. I really am. Like, I mean,
if we try and expand it a little bit, right? We all believe Dan Quinn is out the door. He's 5 head coaching interviews. Who are the Dallas Cowboys going to bring in to play or to coordinate the defensive side of the game? I mean, we have been blown out. And it wasn't the first game this year we were blown out. We got blown out in San Francisco. We got blown out in Buffalo. We were blown out by Green Bay. Andrew has said it here. It's been like this all year. Every team in this league knows you run the ball on the Dallas Cowboys, they will crumble.
Yep.
So, like, they've tried to address it with getting Mazzie Smith in. They haven't done it. They're playing safeties as linebackers, which is not going to work.
Undersized, so, yep.
What is the plan, or what do the Dallas Cowboys have to do? I mean, who are the names that you guys are looking at to bring in as a defensive coordinator?
Before you jump out, and just to add another one, because when I was listening to the podcast on the way to work this morning, and even Mickey Spagnuolo touched on it, Cowboys are wasting Micah Parsons. Why not play him in his natural position? And I'm not saying he's not being good, playing the end.
Yeah.
But Micah Parsons gets more involved. You see a more destructive Micah Parsons when he's playing linebacker.
Yeah.
Play him in his natural position and let him pass, let him rush the passer from a standing position. Like that. You know what I mean? Like, because they were saying a couple of times he got lost. I mean, it was out of the game when they were running the ball. It was out of the game because it couldn't make an impact. But when he stood up as the linebacker, he didn't get a sack, but he got pressure on Jordan Love, and it's just like it feels like it's that mishmash, mix and match kind of thing. Like, just fit him here, there, and everywhere. No, If we need a linebacker, go get a linebacker. Don't get a safety who can play a linebacker, or a linebacker that can play safety.
Yeah.
Get a natural linebacker, for God's sake. Like I say, Demon Clark was the only natural linebacker there. The Cowboys didn't really address losing Leighton Van Der Esch. It was just like, yeah, it was just patch you up and see where what we can get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, anyway.
Brian, you asked the question, who would we bring in? So far, the first guy on top of my mind right now is the defensive line coach for Cleveland, Chris Kiffin. That's the first guy. That's one guy I would look at, because he's the guy that helped develop Nick Bosa, and he's also helped develop Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
So with his expertise in there and being as a defensive coordinator, he can bring in a lot of things and also kind of help revamp our defensive line, and also kind of bring in the guys that he knows he can work with in terms of linebackers and stuff like that. So, and he sticks to a more traditional role in terms of how defenses should be. Don't get me wrong, they had a bad game against the Texans. They did. Yeah. But they were one of the, if not one of the best defenses in the NFL this year.
Yeah. I mean, the name that sticks out straight away to me is Mike Vrabel.
As a defensive coordinator?
As a defensive coordinator, yeah. That's the name that sticks straight out to me.
If it was Jamie, I think he'll be more of a head coach going to like New England, to be honest.
They've got Jared Mayo already.
Yeah. So he's not going to New England unless they take him as defensive coordinator.
They hired him the day after they fired Bill Belichick.
Oh, they've already got a new head coach?
Jared Mayo.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the day after.
Wow, did not know that.
Go on, Jay.
I'm going to throw two names out, but it's not anybody on another team. It depends if they want to take the jump. There's two guys on the coaching staff already that are they worth taking a shot? Would they want to take it? There's a Brit there that is getting very, very loud praise from around the NFL world. And Al Harris has done a great job since he's coming as a coach. I'd be tempted to promote either of those.
I wouldn't.
I don't see it. And part of why I don't see it is the defensive line could not get any pressure in this game on Sunday. I mean, as bad as Dan Quinn's coaching was, the defensive line was abysmal. And the secondary was destroyed. And I'm just trying to see, there was a couple of comments here about it. Especially, look, Joe has nailed it here. He said, we played pretty good against the run. It was Jordan Love who killed us in our secondary. I mean, Luke Musgrave did not have a defender within 100 yards of him.
Yeah, what the hell was Donovan Wilson doing running down to the line of scrimmage when he should have been dropping back? What the hell was that all about? And that's the problem with zone coverage. That is the problem. You're going to leave these big, massive gaps. And Luke Musgrave, like, he was like at least 20 yards clear of any other player and just basically walked in. It's like, welcome to the tea party, pretty much. But if you're talking about bringing in a new defensive coordinator, it needs to be someone. It's not one of our guys. It needs to be as much as I do like Al Harris, but he's one of our guys. We need someone that's going to lead someone who's just is not part of Steven's tree of friends, essentially, or tree of connections. It needs to be someone fresh, someone with a little bit of attitude is going to actually shout and bawl at our defensive players when they make a freaking mistake. And this is why I think like Chris Kiffin from the Cleveland Browns, their defensive line coach, would be a really good idea to pursue.
Yeah. I mean, the other name that's sticking out like an absolute sore thumb, and I don't know if either of you are behind this, Bill Belichick is available.
I am all over that. I said that in the group weeks ago. And to be honest, I think he needs that kind of coach. I just think he doesn't take no shit. It's his way or nobody's way. The only issue with that is the control that he's had in New England. He was head coach, GM. I don't think, as much as he gets on with Jerry, I just can't see it. I would love to see it but I don't think he would get control of what he would want control of. I just don't think he would.
As Andrew says here, and look, I think he's dead right. Belichick is strict. But, Paul, I mean, give us your thoughts on Bill Belichick, would you?
Nope.
That's fair.
Nope.
That's absolutely fair. Look, we've kind of gone for nearly 35 minutes just kind of talking about this. And Steve Mountford has just come in and he said, yeah, I was about to say, we take Belichick and Vrabel as the coaches, wouldn't suffer namby-pamby players. And look, we did allude to it earlier. I mean, our star defensive player, rather than having his mind on the game during the week, was on his podcast talking about, well, if DQ is going, maybe DQ will bring me. You know, I mean, you're one of the stars of the Dallas Cowboys. Why are you talking about stuff like that in the week of a playoff game?
It really boggles my mind. This coming from the guy, Dallas needs me. I'm sick of losing in the playoffs. All I want to do is get Dallas to a Super Bowl. All this talk. Now he just mentions that. I'm sorry, but that's just... I'm extremely disappointed in Micah Parsons for him to say that. I really am.
Yeah.
Like, you're contracted to a team that you want to play for, and now you're saying... He's like, Dan Quinn, take me with you. Like, who knows, Micah? You might actually end up with another defensive coordinator you might actually click even a lot more better with. You ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. In terms of McCarthy, do you see head coaching change?
Head coaching, no. In terms of adding additional staff to Mike McCarthy, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, because when you do really do break it down, yeah, we're 12-5 and whatever and that. He's had the most successes, most any Cowboys coach in recent times since Jimmy Johnson. So that's probably the only saving grace that is given Mike McCarthy. Like, the fact is, it's like, we should have been beyond wildcard. We had the easiest path in front of us. So it does it all goes back down to Mike McCarthy, end of the day. If it does get fired, then we're in our complete offset. Do not expect anything big next year.
Yeah.
I'm saying it now. You should expect us to be like an 8-8 team at best next year, if that's the case. If we're bringing in a new coach, a new system, a new defensive coordinator to help help build this offense as well. So I don't see McCarthy going, but in terms of defensive side of the ball, absolutely, Chris, we need something different that is going to give us more that, like, to imitate more San Francisco, to help us in practices, to help us more like Buffalo does against us, to help us more against what the Eagles have done in recent times as well, when they're actually on form and not broken down like the broken foot they have been in the past 7 weeks. So there is that. But there is talk about all these head coaching roles. I'm now seeing rumors of Mike Tomlin and that now. I'm just like, that's just not going to happen. So
I think people would come on air as well, Paul, to be fair, that he's going to go back next year to the Steelers, which is a shame because he's a cracking coach and he's a little bit, it feels like he's a bit of the Belichick mold in terms of he doesn't set no crap. That's what this team needs.
Here's another name for you, and this might raise a wee few eyebrows here, but as a defensive coordinator, he was pretty decent. As a head coach, he was terrible. Very similar to Dan Quinn, but different style of the. But he stuck to the traditional rules. Josh McDaniels. When you think about it, it's like.
Maybe. If Belichick is if you're bringing in Bill Belichick as some kind of an advisor, maybe, or you're bringing him in as defense coordinator, yeah, bring him in. There's no harm. There's no salary cap on coaching hires. Valenti is saying Jamie Smith for head coach.
Nah, not a chance. I can't even manage my fantasy football teams, right? So
yeah, I know. and Jamie, you'd be too busy with the with the cheerleaders if you were in a head coaching role. But look, this comment is coming in from several people, and I know and I get the frustration that people have. Andrew is saying here, Jones needs to step back and hire a GM and go for good. Joe Trichina is saying, the only thing I can think of is hiring is Jerry Jones and maybe just be advisor to personnel. I mean, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones are not leaving the building anytime soon. So unfortunately, that is not going to happen. So I don't think there's any point entertaining that conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jerry's not going to let go. He's enjoying his control of whatever it is he's got right now as a GM, as the president of the Cowboys, etc. And Steven's happy with his role. The role will get switched over to Steven at some point. Wherever that may be, 5, 10 years from now. Well, I don't think it'll be 10 years. It'll be definitely within the next 5 years, I would imagine. But
I think we've been saying that for the 5 years we've been doing this podcast.
Probably. Right? You know? But it's not going to be anytime soon. Until Jerry is still living and breathing, he's still going to be the GM, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's a problem, and we're seeing the problem.
Stephen says it is a problem, and I get that.
And Jerry does say like he will do anything to get a Super Bowl. If that's the case, then why did you not acquire players when we actually needed them? Why didn't we bring in actual linebackers during that window? We brought in a linebacker. We brought in Evans. Then, obviously, he was not fit to really play. There was a reason why he got cut. Why didn't we find someone else, make a trade for, like, do something? Like, if you're going out and saying this is potentially one of the best teams we've had, why didn't you go and speak to Dan Quinn and say, okay, what do you really need here? Go to Mike McCarthy. What do you really need on offense? Why didn't we try and, like, what's the problem with our run game? Why didn't we bring in Derrick Henry to bring that physical presence to rebuild that run game? We didn't do any of that. We stuck to our guys. That's what we did.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is the last point we're going to talk about on this because Jamie's just itching to get onto another topic. But Fred says, Mike McCarthy's remit when hired was to win a Super Bowl. We need a head coach who'll stand up to Jerry and reset the tone. I mean, I don't think that head coach is out there. I don't think there's
no one. Yeah, I agree. There's no one out there to challenge. There's no one there to challenge.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Like, that's what we need, but Jerry's not going to hire that kind of guy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to hire another Bill Parcells, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, like,
exactly. Like,
that was the last person that stood up to Jerry, and look what happened. He got bloody sacked, and Jason Garrett took over. You know,
yeah.
Like, and Bill passed it. Like,
at least Parcells wasn't great.
He had balls, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
I would ever have coaching staff that would actually stand and say, like, no. Why the hell are we looking at a guy like us? Yeah. We need this. We're the coaches. Yeah, you may be the GM, but you're not the one that's on the sideline, on the training ground every single day, evaluating the players, etc. You are not looking at what the scouts are saying in terms of our actual... You're just looking at from the bloody 50-yard line in your box, essentially. What's that? Like, that's not what a GM should be doing. A GM should be on the ground as well.
Yeah.
General manager should be right beside the coaches and analysing everything.
You know what? The names just come to mind, and I don't know what you're thinking. And to be fair, his name's floating around every single year, and he made the jump, and he left one team and he went to another, and it's not really panned out. Would a BME be somebody Bieniemy be a guy that you would consider bringing in? You know, I mean, he's got bags of potential to be a cracking head coach, and is that maybe a guy that you'd look at bringing in?
As an OC, maybe. But I don't know if Mike McCarthy wants to just go back to head coaching role and let an OC take over again. But as an OC, like at Washington, he was dealt with basically a bad deck of cards at Washington. He didn't have a quarterback. Yeah. He didn't really have much weapons to work with. And for what he managed to do, like nearly beating the Eagles twice, I think he did all right, all things considering. Mm-hmm. But what he did at Kansas City is nothing but remarkable. So maybe take a stab in the dark with him, maybe. But other than that, as a head coach, I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I still don't understand why he left the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Commanders. There's something there which does not add up. I don't think it's money because...
Oh, no, it's definitely money, Brian. When you look at the new owners of Washington, they do have money to burn now. So, and they wanted to get one of the best offensive coordinators to come to Washington to try to help rebuild their franchise. So they're now in the position of, like, I think they're now the number two pick, I believe. So they're going to be rebuilding their franchise, starting the ground up. Obviously, they sacked, Big Ron, and whoever that new head coach may be, and with, like, we'll just need to wait and see. Who knows? Berryman might actually be the new head coach. That's might be what they're kind of banking on. Promote him to their head coach. So,
I can understand why he did it. Like you say, there's all the, and you know, I mean that roster from top to bottom in Kansas City is just littered with stars in it. And it's, I don't know if it's maybe one of them let me go there to prove that I can do it. And it's not just these players. It's down to me as well. But like you said, like Paul said, dealt a bad hand. That Washington roster is not the best, and then they started trading away some of the better pieces, and they just completely fell apart. Didn't it? They obviously gave up on the season and try to get back because these players weren't going to re-sign. So then it's you're up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. Aren't you?
Yeah, I mean. Look, we're nearly 50 minutes through. There was only one thing Jamie wanted to talk about tonight, and that is Dak Prescott. And I mean, I've seen some of the comments coming in. Look, Dak reverted to playoff Dak. We do have a huge issue, as Paul, as you said, in terms of his 60 million cap hit next year.
Yep.
You know, Andrew, I think, said somewhere, make him take a pay cut. We can't make him take a pay cut.
No.
We signed him to a contract. We have to honour that contract. We can't trade him. He has a no trade clause. And after next season, we can't tag him either because there's no tag clause in his contract as well. No. So effectively, Dak has all of the cards in his hands.
Yeah.
And if as Andrew has been kind of saying, look, we need to do an LA Rams from a couple of years ago. If you want to do that, you're going to have to rework Dak and get him onto a new contract for a lot less hate right now. Because you also have to pay CeeDee Lamb. You have to pay Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. And they're the concerns. But look, Jamie, I'm going to give to you because... You know, you have some strong feelings on this. You wanted to talk about this, so the floor is yours.
No, I did, and before I comment, and I'll just throw this back to you two, just so that I can make my point. And to be fair, it just needs a one word answer from you both. And I know what Brian's answer is going to be. I think because we had this debate on Sunday night. Do either of you think that the Cowboys will win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott under center?
I'd say a 10% chance, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying there is still a chance, but it's matter of because this is still without a doubt Dak's best year. Agreed. in terms of regular season, best year as a player?
Regular season, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still think Dak can still do it, but it really depends on the situation within the overall team and front office that's going to affect the player like that. We've asked Dak to do what he needs to do in terms of regular season, cut the interceptions down and start scoring more passing touchdowns. He's done all of that. He is ranked one of the top QBs. He was in the MVP race, for goodness sake, literally just last week. This was the game for him to solidify that.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not trying to defend Dak or whatever or not. I will say, though, it just felt like with what happened during the game, this how our defense performed, it put on a lot of strain, a lot of pressure. But, and it kind of, and I think this kind of now it's biting to eat our words, what Cam Newton said. It is more of a game manager situation. Well, that may be a bit of an extreme take, actually. Like, but with all the weapons that Dak's got, you would expect him to do really, really good. But it really did. And it's not also Dak's fault. There was a lot of miscommunication within, whether it's within the play calling. It was a miscommunication with the wide receivers, just not catching the ball. Like Lamb, for example, he had a terrible first quarter. He was terrible. He was targeted, what, 7 times and had no catches or something like that? But in terms of some of the plays actually looked okay, that makes sense, you know? And I'm not trying to find excuses. I'm just trying to think, how can we move forward of what we've got right now?
When you listen to some of the podcasts, though, a lot of the stuff was put on Dak, and they were saying it was, if you look at it, his reads were awful.
Oh, I agree.
He was flustered. And I said, and I know we, and Javette, my answer is the exact same that Steve put up. The Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl with Dak under center. And that's not, Dak's a great guy. He's a great regular season quarterback. It shits the bed in the playoffs, I'm not putting Sunday all on Dak because it wasn't all Dak, but he's the quarterback of the He's paid $40 million a year. Dak is paid to put this team on his back when the shit's hit the fan and carry this team.
Yeah,
Dak. Dak did not carry this team on Sunday.
We
won't win a Super Bowl with Dak. If the contract wasn't what it was, it's time to move on. And I've resigned myself that we have to keep him, like I say, because of the massive cap hit that we're facing and the shit way that the contract was written up, that he's got a no trade clause and he can't franchise tag him. It's going to be years for me. For me personally, it's going to be years of mediocrity again.
Right. So, Jamie, the way I would respond to that is, right, when you look at Brock Purdy right now, would you say he's actually a better quarterback than Dak?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay, so you're not benefiting there because of the weapons he's got and how their offensive system is? Right. So the point I'm trying to make is, right, so we brought Purdy, right? If he was to put on any other team, maybe a different story. But there's the similarities with Purdy and Dak. They are not game changers. Brock Purdy has got an actual offense he can actually control. Mm-hmm. Whereas the game changer type of quarterbacks, you know, Lamar Jackson's, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Josh Allen, who has been very mediocre this season, but he's still a game changer when it really counts.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest difference. Purdy and Dak are very similar in terms of, like, it really depends on the offense of system, I think. Like, and when you've got guys like your offensive line, which we know is a wee bit broken up and beaten up, like, with guys are literally going to retire, et cetera, et cetera. when things don't go down like our way, the whole team dips their heads down. Lamb, at that middle point of the season, head was down. Like, our tight ends weren't making catches, et cetera, et cetera. Like, yeah, we were still putting points on the board, but we weren't paying up to our most optimal performances. So you need to ask the question here, whereas Brock Purdy, like, he's kind of in the same situation, but the thing is, his offense have not dipped their heads down when the going gets tough. They still come back and fight. So there's definitely a more global thing to revolve around rather than just pointing at one person. That's my point.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree. I just, it's just that I've, when you're in the trenches like that, would you back your mortgage on Dak being able to get it? And I personally can't see it. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. And like you say, he was playing to a good level. And then it was all of a sudden we went back to what Dak was like when we first got in the playoffs. And it's like, and just kind of just to spin it back to the game on Sunday. If you looked at those two quarterbacks, you would have thought that was Dak's first playoff game, and Jordan Love, they had the playoff experience, and it was just, it was. And like I say, I'm not shadowing all the blame on him because it's not, but everyone says it's he's the quarterback. Everyone says it's the most important position on the team. So then, a lot of the blame has to go on him because he's playing the most important position on the team. And then there's a lot of other quarterbacks in this league at the minute that I would rather have under center, that I would be more confident of getting further on. But that's hearsay, and you never know because it's just the nature of the game.
So I want to bring a point up, and Andrew has made this point a couple of times. Steve has kind of put it in as well. And I can relate this back to San Francisco, right? So if you look at San Francisco, before Brock Purdy came into the team last year, they went out and got possibly, in my opinion, the best running back in the game, in Christian McCaffrey. They had two or three really good wide receivers who start becoming elite. They have an elite tight end as well, right? And as Andrew said, we need a great back. We have said on this program repeatedly, we do not have a great running back. The offensive line is crumbling. So Dak is having to do the best he can, knowing he's hampered with a lot of what's around him. And I'm not saying here that Dak would win us a Super Bowl if we had our own Christian McCaffrey, our O-line was the best in the league, our wide receiver showed up. Because any given Sunday, you just don't know. And I do agree with Jamie's point. But I mean, if there's anything which has come out of this game, it's that in this offseason, we do need to address, obviously we need to address Dak Prescott, but we need to address the offensive line skill positions and rebuild that.
And get linebackers in.
Yeah. But just to add on to what you were saying there, kind of what San Francisco have got. When he first came into the league, he ended up with arguably the best running back the Cowboys have had for well over 10 years.
Yeah.
The Cowboys had the best O-line in the league at the time.
Yeah.
Arguably one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game. He had an explosive wide receiver in Dez Bryant, was one of the best receivers ever. Still couldn't get it done. So it's he had that kind of a bit of a build up and he still couldn't get it done.
That's fair, but Brock Purdy didn't get it done in his first season.
Yeah, true.
And in fairness though, we had Scott Linehan. Let's be honest.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So there's your counter argument there, Jamie.
Yeah. I'll give you that one, Paul.
Look, Joe has raised the point here, and it is fair. in that he doesn't agree that Dak had Zeke, he had Amari, he had Gallup, he had CeeDee Lamb, he had Dalton Schultz 2 years ago and last year. And we choked twice against the 49ers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, it your point does bear out, Jamie, in that, look, he's had plenty of talent.
Is that 8 years? Is that 8 years?
Yeah. So, you know, like, I think your point is valid in that maybe he's just not able to get it done.
And we can't rely. Well, here's another point. So we can't rely on having a left tackle that's literally resting halfway during the week and still able to play and not play a whole season.
Yeah.
We can't rely on that. We need to have a fully explosive year. Like, I might say young, but we need offensive line is definitely a priority.
Obviously going back to the kind of the narrative we've been talking about is in terms of obviously comparing Niners and blah blah blah. Does then as well in some ways can you circle this back to Jerry? And what I mean by that is that if you look at other teams in the league, when it's not working with a quarterback or with a certain group of players, that said team will blow it up and they'll be right, we are going to go in rebuild mode. Jerry seems very reluctant to go in a rebuild mode. So it's rather than, like, say, presumably because we're talking about Dak, so it's about 8 years of Dak. We've kind of we've progressed a little bit, but we haven't got to where we should have been in that time. And we've not gone far in the playoffs. Without some teams will go, right, let's scrap it. Let's go draft a new quarterback or let's go out and trade for one and get a guy that can take us forward. Now, the Cowboys are the most valuable sports team in the world. While the Cowboys are that at that pinnacle of being the most valuable sports team, they're not going to blow it up. It's just from a business sense, it's not going to do. So
yeah,
is that maybe hampering it a little bit? I know I've got a little bit long-winded there, but it's, if the Cowboys weren't as valuable in the business sense, do you think we might have seen it blown up and we might not have had Dak for as long? Do you know what I mean?
So the way I view it, Jamie, and look, again, I respect the 49ers as a franchise. I hate them, but I respect them. And if you look at it, the 49ers will make moves. They'll have bad seasons and they'll blow it up. San Francisco 49ers are just as storied a franchise as the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. Agreed. I totally agree.
They had huge support in our stadium in the playoffs last season. But they will blow it up if they think it's not working. You know, as we said, look, they got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo and went with Purdy. They're not afraid to make moves. They went out and got Christian McCaffrey last season. They're aggressive in what they do. They're not as aggressive as Andrew has kind of said, but as the LA Rams. Like, they sold the farm to win a Super Bowl. And they haven't been the same since. And obviously they were knocked out on Sunday night. But Rich alluded to this last year, the same time after we were knocked out of the playoffs. As long as we're competing, Jerry is not going to do what most teams would do in that trade away players. Like, when's the last time we went and made a big significant trade? It was Amari Cooper 5 years ago.
And look what we got for him.
Yeah.
When you've got players like A.J. Brown went for a first round draft pick, I'm sorry, but Jerry really screwed the pooch in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% agree.
And the fact that he declared letting go Lyle Collins and basically no one wanted to trade for him. I'm like, why did you deal with all your cards and come out in a press conference saying, not a press conference, but basically speak to the press and say, we're looking to trade away Lyle Collins? Like, no one's not going to trade for him now. He's just going to go for free. And no one's going to trade with us because they don't want to see us improve.
Yeah.
So the only thing, if it's a player that can contribute, well, don't get me wrong, Lyle Collins did contribute to the Cowboys, but his last season with the Cowboys was not the best. So that's why people didn't sign him. But when you look at the players that we do have right now, who can we put, and this is what I was kind of going at, is obviously the skill positions is questionable right now, but the best player in our skill position in that game just there and might actually just somewhat might save his job and might get a team elsewhere was Michael Gallup, believe it or not. Like,
yeah,
he was the only guy, like, from first quarter to the end was actually making plays. Mm-hmm. Really. Like, it wasn't until the backups left, CeeDee Lamb emerged.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb should have been there for the whole start of the game, start to finish. He should have been there as priority number one. Who was the guy that we least expected? Michael Gallup. Yeah. So, and that, like, so will Michael Gallup now be like, he's got a like 4 year now contract now left. So
he's 2 years left on his contract.
2 years left. So yeah, that could might get us some really late round picks. We might get some bargains for that potentially. Mm-hmm. Who knows? That could be a guy we could offload. Getting in a younger wide receiver, someone a bit more like someone similar to his stature, size, speed, like ability to like go on the off route, go on a deep route, all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. There could be that. And then we might actually pick up an ass still positional player in terms of running back or picking an offensive line with those small late round picks. So
say that though as well. Just to jump in on your polys, there's potentially a power back running back free agency this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how can we afford it if we don't restructure Dak's contract?
Yeah. God, like, that looks salary caps.
So this is going to be the biggest problem going into this offseason right now. Like, either way, Dak's going to be here next season.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's going to be a $60 million cap hit or it's going to be a restructured deal and it's going to lower the cap down. Either way, he's staying for at least one year. So we need to be prepared for that, folks. Like it or lump it. Yeah. Like, unless we restructure his new contract and there will be a trade clause in it and we can offload him, that could happen. Who knows? That could be the extreme example we may be given here.
Yeah. I mean, let's crystal ball this a little bit, right? Because someone did ask the question. I think it was Joe. He said, what happens if we let Dak walk after next season? We've spent a fourth round pick this year in our 2024 class on Trey Lance. Trey Lance hasn't had a snap on the field. And we have to make a decision on whether he gets a fifth year option.
No.
I mean, a fifth year option is going to cost you huge money.
Shit, exactly. No.
You know? I mean, it just seems that there are so many bad decisions made at times. And, you know, like you mentioned the name, Paul, Michael Gallup. I mean, I think the whole league knows the Cowboys want to get rid of Michael Gallup. And yet, teams are going to sit around and wait and go, Cowboys will probably cut him anyway. So why would we offer trade picks for him?
Yeah,
you know.
And like you say, just kind of going down the route of, I know we touched on a little bit earlier, like you say, like the Niners, if they believe that they need a specific piece to compete. Mm. So, I mean, like, we sit there and everybody could see that the Cowboys desperately needed a power running back. And yeah, it would have probably cost some. But if you, he said it, God knows how many times through the season, that he believed that this team could win the Super Bowl. Now, if you believe that this team could win the Super Bowl, you go out and you get a Derrick Henry. You get the running back that the Cowboys need to put you on. But is it Titan and don't want to do that and wants to try and bring in and kind of go by running back by committee, because it felt like that towards the end of the year that everyone were getting more snaps to try and get teams off the game plan. But like I say, Derrick Henry still got a bit of tread on the tyres.
Yeah.
I think if we'd have gone out and got a Derrick Henry, I think we might have been having a different conversation this week in terms of how that game panned out.
Yeah.
I've just... I've just literally just ran the PFF mock draft simulator, right? And you're not going to believe this, right? So, look, obviously, we're now the 24th pick in the NFL draft. Happens if we draft a quarterback at number eight in the first round? Bo Nix, if he's there.
No, he's not good enough.
Well,
Not good enough.
he is ranked as a first round grade so far.
I would be very peeved off.
Because names of players available that are kind of like popping off right now. There is wide receivers there. There's cornerbacks. There's the tackle from Arizona, Jordan Morgan there. Troy Fatanu from Washington, the tackle from there. But that's a guy I would look at.
I
Graham
don't know if he's
Barton.
declared yet.
I think he has. Well, he's on the system, so he must have declared.
Sometimes they leave players on the system because, like, I know I use another one and it still has safeties on it who have said they're going back next year.
Yeah,
So they're not always accurate.
I think they've still got a couple of weeks till they can declare, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. But I mean, you did mention a good name there in terms of Graham Barton. Definitely anyone who hasn't seen his tape, get out there and take a look at Graham Barton. He's very impressive. I've now probably put the hex on it and he will be nowhere near us because I've done this before and I'm not going to go into this draft season with a pet cat because Cowboys never listen to what I want. But speaking of the draft, right? And I said this to you guys since Sunday night. If you look at last year's draft class, you've Mazi Smith, very little impact, Schoonmaker, no impact. Dermarvion Overshown was on
Out.
IR all season. You had Asim Richards, Junior Fehoko, Eric Scott, again, no impact from any of them. Jalen Brooks. I mean, are you disappointed with the draft class that we had, or is it still too early to judge it?
Disappointed.
Disappointed, but I think that time will tell. I think the second year will really explain everything. Especially when it comes to defensive tackle for Mazi Smith. Like, he did have a good couple of games. Let's not forget that. Like that, and a lot of people were wanting to kind of ram it down his throat, saying, "Oh, we were like the problem was with the outside run in some games because Mazi Smith did his job. He sealed the A gaps. He actually busted up the guards, busted up the centers. I think it was the Buffalo game in particular when James Cook absolutely ran amok on us, where I would say 75% of all of his runs and great success with 5 yards or more was on the outside. Anything in the inside was like no more than 4 yards. So I think there is potential with Mazi Smith. I'm not well because defensive tackles do take more time to properly develop, unless you are a freaking freak of nature, like Aaron Donald, for example. That's the only difference. But the difference between Aaron Donald is he is a complete package, where Mazi Smith is purely just a run stopper. He never developed the tools to run do pass rush when he was at Michigan, so he has still got things to learn. He's still got more size to add on, even though he did lose weight, but it was a lot of excess weight he got rid of to make him more mobile. Which is fine as long as he kept the strength. He still had the strength, but I think with this offseason, we might expect something more. We need to expect more from him, obviously.
I think that the jury's still out a little bit, but I'm leaning a little bit more towards disappointment. Like I say, just for the fact that he's a first round pick. Your first round pick is supposed to give you some productivity, and I get that. The D linemen take a little bit more time to develop into the NFL style, but he was a first round pick. He still should have had a lot more productivity than what we got. And like I say, you always look at other players that went after him, and there's players that went after him that made a massive impact on their team this year, and he just didn't. Now, if it's the game, like I say, or if it's just the Cowboys have been a little bit cautious of bleeding him in and not wanting to kind of rush him. Who knows? But I would have liked to have seen a lot more productivity out of him. But like you say, fingers crossed next year we get a different Mazzy Smith.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, I'm just picking up something here and I'll come back to you in a second. But I mean, if we're looking at it, I mean, who was our most impactful rookie this year?
Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, I'm going to say Aubrey.
Yeah.
Essentially a rookie, isn't he?
Well, technically he's not a rookie because he's played pro football, but in terms of being in the NFL, yes, he is a rookie. So, it's just not good.
Like, the kind of the point I want to come back to, this is why, sorry, what I was looking up. Like, the debate in the war room on draft day was whether the Cowboys would draft Mazzy Smith or Matthew Bergeron, who was an offensive guard who ended up going to the Atlanta Falcons. They took Mazzy, and Matthew Bergeron is now the starting left guard for the Atlanta Falcons. He's had a reasonably okay season, but if you kind of look at it, if you had drafted the guard, he could have made an impact this season. You could have left Tyler Smith at left tackle, and, you know, there wouldn't have been the issues there were. You know, I mean, we did our usual sticking plaster. Let's get a veteran left tackle for the 5 to 6 games a year that Tyron Smith is going to miss. And, of course, it blew up in our face. So do you think they might be slightly ruining the fact that they went with Mazzy Smith over Matthew Bergeron?
I think it depends, but I don't know. But then you can look at the positions that the Cowboys needed, though, but look at some of the players that went after Mazzy Smith. Brian Breezy, Nolan Smith. Do you know what, to be fair, I'm not going to lie, when the draft came round, and to be fair, would it have really been a reach? I would have loved the Cowboys to have taken Joey Porter Jr. at 24. Would have loved for him to take. That's not on my ship. That at 24, I was like, it's the cornerback's there. The Cowboys were desperate for cornerback.
Yeah.
But then again, it's hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? And it's, you can look back now, like you say, like we everyone always looks back to the TJ Watt draft, and it's like, well, yeah, but it's like, but then would say Joey Porter have made an impact on the team like he has done in Pittsburgh? Would have the guard made an impact? Like, say, you just don't know, do you? But
and I mean, I get the liking for Joey Porter Jr., but I mean, you had to remember that they had Gilmore in the building, they had Trayvon Diggs in the building, they had Jordan Lewis coming back, Deron Bland was coming on and had the season he had. You know, I can understand why they didn't go Joey Porter, but I can understand the argument you make for it. Look, this Cowboys roster is not going to be the same again. There are going to be players leaving in this offseason. You know, I mean, who are the names that stick out to you straight away as likely to not be here for 2024, and who will need to be replaced?
Well, Can I answer it in kind of a sitting on the fence way?
Yeah.
I don't think Tony Pollard should come back, but I think he might. Only because
he's not coming back.
Hopefully not. But then, do the Cowboys sit there and go, well, what do we do? Do we go out and pay big bucks for a Derrick Henry, or do we know if we'll be able to get a Tony Pollard back with a 3-year deal for less money? So I know you're sitting on the fence, but I don't think he would be back. But I think the Cowboys might do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving that people are biting on this straight away. I mean, the names that are getting mentioned: Tyron won't be back. Michael Gallup will be gone. Neville Gallimore, Gilmore might be gone. Jordan Lewis could be gone. Pollard could be gone. I mean, for me, the Cowboys have to go into this offseason knowing Tyron Smith is gone. And they have got to make a decision at left tackle on what they're going to do. Because Tyler Smith was an all-pro first or second team in both the AP poll and the media poll. So are we going to now take our superstar left guard and put him back out to left tackle? Or are we going to try and fix it some other way?
I still don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't move Tyler Smith.
Yeah.
And I know the initial thought was that he would be the left tackle of the future for the Cowboys. I think a lot of people have said it. If you were gonna play him at left tackle, you had to essentially play him towards the back in the back end of this season.
Yeah.
But he's done absolutely fantastic at left guard. Why change it? Why disrupt that middle?
Yeah.
I know Paul's mentioned it loads of times before. Like I say, like it's different technique in it. It's different technique for play guard, to play tackle, to play one tackle, yeah, to play the other side tackle on the other side. Why mess with it? You wanted to bring him in as a tackle, but he's excelled at guard now. Just like I said, like Murray a couple of years ago when we had the injuries on the list on the thing, and they wanted to move Zach Mine to tackle, and he essentially refused, saying no, I'm not going to play tackle. No, mm-hmm. He's excelling there. Don't mess about it. This all line's patched up as it is. Don't patch it up anymore.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other names which are popping up as being gone in this offseason, Jordan Lewis, Tyler Biadasz, you know, like there's a lot to go around. And I mean, Andrew, we get your love for Derrick Henry. We know you love him. It's not going to get done unless there's a lot of restructuring done in terms of Dak's deal getting sorted out, CeeDee Lamb's deal getting sorted out, Micah Parsons' deal getting sorted out. And the Cowboys need to do all of that right now. They cannot sit around and sit on their hands and go, we'll do this after the Super Bowl or heading into the draft. They need to get this done now before free agency starts, because otherwise they can't go big.
Just to touch on it again, because you mentioned Biadasz in there. When the Cowboys media team did the podcast after, obviously, coming back at the game, they were talking about free agents. Now, the only thing is, if you let Biadasz go, you've got to be confident that you've got someone that you can... Well, say that in second position. If you're going to let a Tyron Smith go, or a Biadasz, or a Gilmore, you've got to hope that you can bring someone in that can play, not maybe to that caliber, but can play at a high level, or you don't let them walk out of that building, because you're just gonna. And I know with snooker in some ways, and there's got to be a lot of dealing, you know, we've got a lot of movement on contracts and stuff to be able to fit people in. But it's if you don't believe that you can get someone in free agency, or if there's someone not there in the positions you are in the draft, because we know that the Cowboys don't like to make a lot of moves up and down in terms of going to get players, then you've got to potentially say, well, look, yeah, he's banged up, and he's as much as we say we don't think Tyron should probably knock it on the head more for his health, because there's life to football, but it's like, well, can you get anybody that can play well at left tackle? If not, it's like you have to persuade him to come back while you can fix this somehow.
Yeah. I mean, Tim has kind of raised this point. Micah has plainly said he'd like to follow Quinn. I think that might be slightly misrepresenting it, but I mean, if the Cowboys wanted to cause a splash this offseason, trading Micah Parsons away might cause that splash. Would either of you do that? Because they're kind of snookered in terms of what draft picks they have this year.
Yep.
And he could bring you a lot. Like, I'm trying to think back to the Khalil Mack trade. I mean, I think the Bears gave up a couple of firsts, a couple of seconds, when Khalil Mack was one of the premium defensive players in this league.
Don't forget,
so there's precedence there in terms of what you could get.
Don't forget the Bears trade to San Francisco for, what's his face, Trubisky?
Trubisky. One, to go up one draft spot.
Yep.
You know? But, I mean, would you guys consider trading away Micah Parsons?
No.
Depending on what's on offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're offering us multiple first round picks, but more picks in the middle, like the third and fourth rounds of this year, then yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe
to add on to what Paul said as well, you can give me a premium player as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was involved in the Khalil Mack trade as well. I think Chicago did give up a couple of players as well. But I mean, I think this is what the Cowboys might need to do this offseason and get creative. Because there's a lot of holes. Like, we've said O-line, we've said linebacker, we've said defensive line, cornerback is going to be a need, wide receiver is going to be a need. You know, and we have very few picks right now to work with. So we definitely need to do something around that. In terms of the game on Sunday, is there anything else you guys want to discuss? Or
I guess the silver lining is we can still laugh at the Eagles for all their trash talking and that, and they actually probably end up with a worse result than we did.
Yeah.
And not to mention the fact that Jason Kelce's just announced he's retiring, so they're not going to be the same team ever again. They're not going to be doing any tush-pushies anytime soon. You're actually seeing Dallas Goedert actually now shouting at Jalen Hurts. So they're in a much more, I think they're going to be in a much more bigger thicker than we are, if I'm being honest.
See, as well, did either you see the video as well? Yeah, it's soul destroying, especially how the Cowboys played back towards in the back end of the season to take advantage and win the NFC East. And everyone was like, right, you know, I think we all thought that with the Cowboys could at least get to the NFC Championship game. We played that well. But then, like, yeah, we lost and we spit as dummy out. That's just part of being a sports fan, isn't it? And we sit and we cry and we moan and we whinge and we'll do it all again next year because we love the Cowboys. But, like, did anybody see the video of the Eagles fans? And as much as we don't like Sirianni, we all say, don't we, like, he's got a face only a tight could take out and all that. And he's a... But did you see the Eagles fans throwing popcorn and crap at him as he was leaving the field? Like, that's like, come on, it's like, that's... And yet it's funny in a way, but it's also like, you wouldn't see Cowboys fans throwing stuff at Mike McCarthy and throwing stuff at Dak because we lost the playoff game. They throw a lot of obscenities in a way and stuff, but it's like, you know what? They're just a different breed, aren't they, the Eagles fans?
Oh, they're just imbeciles, that's it.
Yeah.
as I said to you both, gentlemen, let's stay classy because that's how we've been all season.
That's
you
true.
Know, our team didn't perform on Sunday night. We have not made any excuses for that. And, you know, like, yeah, they are who they are. And, you know, good luck to them. That I think it's irritating them more if we don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, look, we've gone an hour and a half. I don't think there's anything much more we want to discuss tonight.
Don't think so.
No. So we're back Thursday night. Mike will be back here at 9 o'clock in the UK and Ireland, 4 o'clock on the East Coast, 3 o'clock Texas time, and 1 o'clock on the West Coast of America. It is the Fan Rant Show. It is your show, folks, where you can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. So do make sure and tune in. Before we go, Paul, do you want to give the shout out?
Yeah, guys, if you're planning going to the Dallas Cowboys next season, be sure to go and check out CowboysExperience.com for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more.
And Jamie, what do you do?
Use the discount code UK Cowboys and you get free stuff and chocolate pudding.
No, we're not doing the chocolate pudding no more. That joke's now dead.
No, come on.
No, honestly, it's so fizzled out now. It really is.
No. Don't do that to me, Paul. I'm still not over the loss from the weekend. And now you're taking the chocolate pudding coming off me. That's just not fair, man.
No, we've got to keep the chocolate pudding going.
Should we
get Barry to change the promo code to the common of the trip?
No, Jamie, don't go there. We are still live.
Yeah.
But look, we can see some of the comments coming in there. So from Andrew, thanks for a good season, lads. From Joe, you guys are doing a great job. From Fred saying, lads, great show, but I'm even more frustrated and annoyed after it. And Joe also saying, no more 40 burgers. I mean, I think on behalf of all of us, look, you guys are what make this show for us. Otherwise, we're just three guys here having a chat amongst ourselves. So we are nothing without you guys. So every view, every podcast listen that you guys have, we appreciate it.
Yeah,
every I'll pass like, off to yeah. you gents to say their piece.
Yeah, every like and subscribe means a hell of a lot to us. So thanks again, guys, to everyone that's actually stayed tuned with us this whole season. And yeah, we'll go on with the Fan Rant on Tuesday. And I believe we're having our first special guest of 2024 as mm-hmm. well. So yeah, be sure to go and tune in. But always,
thanks for tuning in every week, everybody. Not also on here, but on the social media pages, getting involved. Stay safe in the off season, and we'll get back for the ride again next year.
There is plenty more to come from us, folks. We will still have a full off season program. Our socials will still be going all through the off season. So, as we say, make sure and tune in Thursday night with Mike and the guys for the Fan Rant Show. It's been a pleasure. Good night.